Welcome to the Hindus in Focus podcast. I'm Amit Barua, the Hindus resident editor in Delhi. We are recording this episode of the podcast as results are streaming in still on the night of November 10th, but it looks now that the NDA alliance will secure a simple majority in the election. The result means that the BJP has emerged as a significant force in Bihar, though the Rashtriya Janata Dal, led by Tejaswi Yadav, has turned in a strong showing and will likely emerge as the single largest party in the state, being let down perhaps only by its alliance with the Congress. We'll decode the major trends in this election with the Hindu's top political correspondents and discuss the future of the major players now shaping Bihar's new political terrain.
We have a good panel with us. We have Nistula Hebbar, the Hindu's political editor, and Sandeep Phukan, a senior political editor with the Hindu and a political analyst. So I'm going to go straight to Nistula, our political editor, and ask her, you've been on the ground, Nistula, in Bihar. Do these trends match with what you saw on the ground?
Absolutely. And if, Amit, anybody would care to go back to the kind of field reports that I, as well as our colleagues Amarnath Tiwari and Shobhna Nair, filed from Bihar, because all three of us had traveled extensively there. This kind of tight election was what we had predicted. There was a momentum with the RJD, but whether he was being seen as an alternative to the voters of for the voters of the NDA, that was always going to be a question mark. I had spoken extensively to reverse migrants, people who had returned home during the lockdown. I'd spoken to a large number of women voters who had, also partaken of the government's Jivika program, livelihood program, etc., etc. And I found that a lot of the people, the samikarans or the caste arithmetic or the community arithmetic that had stood behind the NDA was not about to stray away. Although there were a lot of there was a lot of crowd for Tejaswi. Tejaswi Yadav, and he also fought on issues which stuck. He actually set the agenda in terms of the narrative, in terms of the whole rhetoric through the entire campaign. One must give it to him. He spoke on jobs, and that remained a very important campaign issue. And so much so that the BJP also had to mention it in its manifesto after having made fun of Tejaswi Yadav. But it seemed to me that it was not going to be enough for Tejaswi to transcend that barrier of being seen as an alternative in your rival's vote bank. So the Pachpaniya, who we call the Pachpaniya vote bank, Mahadalits, EPCs, and the non-Yadav OPCs, who have traditionally stood with the NDA, some of the upper caste. As well as women to a large extent. This time, 5% more women voted. They were angry with Nitish, but not enough to change their traditional politics.
Sandeep, I'm now going to come to you. Nistula makes some very important points there. The key question is that with all this anti-incumbency that had been forecast, Nitish Kumar has, in a sense, held his own. It's not as if there's been a complete collapse. And he has shown that he is a marathon man of Indian politics. He did say that it was going to be his last election. But how do you see whatever's been going on in Bihar?
Well, quite clearly, as Nistula was just saying, that the opposition could not really convert the anger on the ground or the anti-incumbency into votes. And it's very clear now, different people are giving different reasons. I spoke to a senior leader of the Congress party, and I asked him about, why do you think they fared poorly, or at least far below their expectation? They had contested. Remember, they were the second largest partner of the Mahagathbandhan. They were contesting 70 seats, and till the last I saw, they were leading only in 20, whereas their expectation was anywhere between 40 and 45. Clearly, that's going to be a very uphill task, though this particular leader told me that at least on 10 seats, they are on number two, and the difference between the number one and number two is barely 1,500 votes. So they are hoping that subsequent rounds may give them some reason to cheer. But quite clearly, two regions or areas that have cost them. One is the Kosi region, where there's a consolidation of the Yadav. Pappu Yadav's party has cut into the RJD votes. And Mr. Oasis's party has cost them in Simanchal. The minority votes, the Muslim votes haven't come their way. So these are two preliminary reasons that this leader I was talking to, and he's familiar. He's been there on the ground and familiar with the politics, he told me. So quite clearly, it's been a disappointing. I mean, everybody said that Congress is going to be the weakest link. And if you see from the leads, given that they contested on so many seats, their performance.
But a lot of people said that they were given some unwinnable seats.
That's true.
Is that correct?
That's true. In fact, of the 70, at least 20 odd seats were such that, they have never ever won. Neither they have won nor their alliance partner or the leader of the alliance have won. So clearly that was to begin with, those 20 seats were always going to be a challenge. Overall, they say that about 45 seats are such seats where the contest was very difficult for them. And in some of the seats that the left parties got,
I'm going to hold, ask you to hold that thought. I'm going to go back to Nisula and ask her about what she felt. Look at Nitish Kumar, 15 years of anti-incumbency, playing second fiddle in a sense to Narendra Modi for the first time, being undermined perhaps from within the NDA by Chirag Paswan as part of a reported tactic. But he seems to have held his own. I mean, 40 seats is, and 15% of the vote is not a bad showing for someone who's been, chief minister for nearly 15 years.
Yeah, but you see, he's fought 110 seats and, his strike rate is actually pretty low. But taking on the 15-year anti-incumbency and the big crisis that we all faced, the pandemic, and he faced it politically because there was such a large number of people wanting to go back. And he didn't win any friends when he said that he didn't want to take back a lot of the reverse migration people who wanted to go home. There was a lot of anger on the ground. Certainly, he has been able to calm that down. But I think he got a lot of help from the central government to do that, especially Prime Minister Modi. Because a part of the NDA, and specifically the BJP's distribution of largesse in Bihar during the COVID, that has not been taken into account by a lot of people. But BJP has, reached out to beneficiaries. Everybody, every BPL family has received something or the other from the central government. And therefore, a lot of the BJP workers and others did go to the people during this entire crisis, etc. And try to ameliorate as much of the hurt feelings as possible so that it doesn't reflect on their leader, So because of that, I think a lot of seats where Nitish Kumar was fighting, he was able to push.
And also,
the most important.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you is that Prime Minister Modi, he never seems to give up. Whatever be the situation around him, he chugs along and he's shown it again that, he's a master campaigner for the BJP, and the situations which look difficult or which became difficult, because let's also remember that 6 months ago, nobody gave Tejaswi Yadav a chance. He was nowhere in the picture. People were saying that when, the migration crisis happened and COVID happened, he wasn't even in Bihar. So a lot of things changed in the last few months. But one thing which didn't change was Mr. Modi's relentless campaign. Doesn't matter whether it's Bengal or Bihar or Assam or Tamil Nadu or whatever, his one-man electoral army keeps moving on. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And credit must be given where it's due.
Important point here to remember, Amit, with regard to Prime Minister Modi is that, there are two kinds of leaders, especially in the context. One is an enabler, the one who empowers certain very marginal communities to feel empowered within a particular system. And the second is the provider who provides you some sort of welfare goodies and, development, roads, etc. Mr. Modi, because of his DBT and this last mile delivery, the way he does that, he has managed to combine both these. He has become, BJP has taken a very decisive OBC shift in its representation, in its political hierarchy. but also so it enables a lot of marginal communities. It enables inclusion of a lot of marginal communities which were voiceless in the past, but also is the provider of a lot of welfare goodies, which was the USP of the Congress in the past. So therefore, he has managed to combine these two things. Yeah. And through his very unpopular alliance.
I'm going to get into this here. Sandeep, let's look at the other side of the coin, as it were. You had a massive migration triggered by a lockdown declared in 4 hours. An estimated 1 crore people returned to Bihar. The charge against Mr. Nitish Kumar was that at least, in his neighboring state, the Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath arranged buses. But Mr. Nitish Kumar didn't even do that. So what is it now? What is it? Is it that Nitish Kumar is being propped up by the sails of Narendra Modi today, a man whom he didn't even want in Bihar, whom he didn't want to campaign for? So the larger point that I'm asking you is that the opposition, in a sense, had a whole menu of issues to choose from. COVID, yes. Management, mismanagement, however you look at it politically. But the in-migration from cities was an absolute reality. So is it that the opposition really is unable to convert its issues that it has into votes?
Absolutely. In fact, I would like to go back to what you just pointed out a little earlier, that few months back, nobody had given Tejasvi a chance. Remember, even during migration, the talk was that where was Tejasvi Yadav? Why is he not seen out in the field? And he appeared on the scene much later. It's just that people started talking about Gathbandhan in a big way and started taking him as an alternative to Nitish Kumar simply because his public rallies attracted huge crowds.
And we've had even Rahul Gandhi has attracted huge crowds, yeah, in UP and other places.
But the question is that did the voters of Bihar actually see him as an alternative? That's one. Number two, don't forget that Nitish Kumar was always called the Sushasan Babu. Because in his first term, he certainly improved law and order. He certainly worked in the area of education, infrastructure, rural infrastructure. You recall, he used to give bicycles to a girl child, who would do well in her 10th exam. Those schemes he had started. In the past 5 years, of course, he slipped. His grip over the administration had slipped. There was switching of sides politically. First, he joined with the Mahagathbandhan, then he went back to the BJP. So his image had taken a hit. But was that hit?
Why do you think he said this in that last rally, that this will be my last election? Was he trying to get the sympathy vote? What was the goal?
I suppose so. I think, it was trying to create a sympathy factor that, look, this is the last election. Meri bezati nahi honi chahiye. By the way, also, let's not forget that on many issues, Nitish Kumar don't get along with the BJP. For example, you recall one of his last rallies, he took on Yogi Adityanath on the CAA when Yogi Adityanath made some controversial comments about, people having to leave. And he said, who says about these things? Nobody is going to leave this country. Everyone has an equal stake. So that is also an important political signaling that he made to his minority voters. But the other thing I would imagine, and this is a very important factor that plays out in Uttar Pradesh as well, which is the Yadav factor, Yadav Raj. So Prime Minister Modi's, it was a very tactical and a strategic slogan when he said, Yuvraj of Jangal Raj. You recall he said that Jangal Raj ki Yuvraj. Referring to Jangal Raj, alleged Jangal Raj during Lalu Yadav's rule, 15-year rule, and Tejasvi carrying that legacy. So I think it was a clear sort of other EBCs, the extremely backward classes, a creation of Nitish Kumar, Mahadalits, most backward classes. There is always a fear that if RJD comes to power, then the Yadavs will, hold sway over everything, administratively, governance-wise. So there is that fear factor that we have played a part.
Yeah. So I'm going to now, I just want to remind those who are watching this Facebook Live, is there's a difference of 10 odd seats between the Mahagathbandhan and the NDA. So the story is not yet over. We are in a sense in the middle of the story. But I'm still going to ask Nistula that, of course, the BJP has said very clearly that Nitish Kumar, it will be as chief minister. It doesn't matter who gets how many seats. But this is a very important state for the BJP. They have never managed to come to power on their own, in a sense. In all other important North Indian states, whether it is UP, it's Madhya Pradesh, it is Rajasthan, it is Chhattisgarh, they have had their own chief ministers. Bihar has so far, you know, not been so easy for them. So wouldn't they be keen on having their own man as chief minister in Bihar, Nistula?
Certainly. Already the SCST Morcha chief, Ajay Chaudhary of Bihar, has said that, you know, since the BJP has far outnumbered the JDU, they should have this time to get a BJP chief minister. But all the senior leaders have reiterated Amit Shah's promise, Union Home Minister Amit Shah's promise given in the middle of the election, that even if Nitish Kumar gets, you know, lesser seats than the BJP, he will be the chief minister. So I think they will stick on to that promise, but there, I don't think that this is going to be a very, very easy decision to sell to the cadres. Historically, BJP had done better than the erstwhile Samata Party in 1995 when they first went into an alliance. And but it was a conscious decision on the part of the BJP at that time and through these years to keep giving more seats and to show him as the leader of the alliance, for a very simple reason that the caste combination that BJP called on for support required, Janata Dal United to make it a much wider social coalition. And that is the issue on which they did not break the alliance even going into this election, when they knew that Mr. Kumar's, unpopularity might pull them down.
So Sandeep, coming to this, your take. So basically what Nistula is saying is that, in a sense, the BJP might have to resist the temptation of having their own person as chief minister. Would that be correct?
I would agree. There are a variety of reasons. One, as Nistula said, that one is they'll have to keep in mind the social coalition. They'll also have to assess, are they strong enough to reach out to every in a caste-based political arithmetic, do they reach out to the largest number? But I think also Nitish Kumar is someone who has done business previously with the Mahagathbandhan. And this was certainly, earlier. And there will be this fear that, nothing stops him, to take his, if he gets around 50 MLAs, to go and join them. If the pre-poll promise of making him the chief minister is not honored, that's one. So there is going to be that fear. And the other thing is that, look at the alliance situation of the NDA right now. Akalis have left, Shiv Sena have left. They wouldn't want that image. I think, as Nistula rightly said, sir, there may be demands. It's only fair that if your party has done well, why should you play the second fiddle? Why should you not lead the coalition? And the difference is substantial. The last we saw, it was almost near about 30 seats, more than 20 seats. Now, if you have that sort of a situation, will you allow your junior partner to lead the coalition? But most senior leaders in the past have already, Mr. Amit Shah, Mr. J.P. Nadda, the BJP president, and the Prime Minister, all of them have made it very clear that Nitish is the leader of the alliance or leader of the NDA in Bihar, and it is going to be that way. Things may have changed if the NDA had required the support of Chirag Paswan, let's say, if they had fallen short.
And right now we know that LJP is not, doesn't have a single seat as we speak. Yeah, if the situation has changed in the last few minutes, I don't know.
Yeah, so if they had to depend on a Chirag Paswan, let's say, that this may have been a factor. I mean, I'm sure, as Nistula said right in the beginning, there will be demands made. I have also heard that there are some dark horses like Nityanand Rai who are being prepared for that role. But I think eventually on these matters, the top leadership view will prevail. And so far, there is nothing in the public domain to suggest that they might have a rethink on Nitish's leadership.
Yeah. So the key thing in this is that the BJP needs Nitish Kumar to form the government. Without Nitish Kumar, they can't form the government. They just don't have the numbers. So it's not as if there are some others available to them to form the government. But I want to come back to Nisula now to the role of the LJP and Chirag Paswan.
Right.
I mean, for a party which got two seats in 2015, I mean, he got a lot of importance in the media, Chirag Paswan. And he's obviously quite clever in playing the media game. He got a lot of attention to himself. And he has got, maybe 5% of the popular vote or something.
1% more than he got the last time.
Yes. But what do you think happened there? I mean, you think that the BJP is so adept at playing the political game that they can pit one member of the alliance against another? You think there is substance in this theory?
I have a very strong feeling that they did not discourage Mr. Paswan, who had 4% fixed vote throughout all these years. And I remember very clearly in 2014 when LJP crossed over to the NDA front from the UPA where they were earlier. It was hailed as a big victory for Mr. Modi. It was likened to Jagjivan Ram, crossing over to the socialist, the Janata Party, you know, just before the emergency elections, post-emergency elections happened, and what that added in terms of, you know, social heft. So he has always been very prized, you know, because BJP has always been looked at as this upper caste Brahman Banya party and all of those things. His 4% vote has been consistent, so that also gave him some help. I don't think they discouraged him very much. They probably also gave signals that, okay, if you want
to leave the NDA.
I think they asked him very desultorily. I remember a very 45-minute long meeting between him and Amit Shah. He asked what happened in that meeting. Chirag Paswan said, I told him that these are my reasons for going separately, and we asked him what was Mr. Shah's response. He said, that kind of a thing. It was not a very strong sort of, no, you please don't do this and stay with us and, you know, stay in this coalition or whatever. But I think halfway through the campaign, this muddled messaging and the going over of BJP rebel candidates to the LJP as LJP candidates, you know, like Rajendra Singh from Dinan, from Sasaram, etc. And, you know, JDU was watching, and they're not nobody's fools. So I think a message came from the JDU that, look, if you are going to make it difficult for our candidates, you know, then we also have some 16% vote. You know, we have, say, you know, part of your victory is also, as alliance partner, our voters also are voting for you because this is a seat adjustment. So you see what you want to do. I think at that point of time, everybody then in the high command in BJP kind of came around to the view that it was too important an election, and Tejasvi was fast rising in the, you know, in the public persona. So it was felt that this kind of muddled messaging just won't do. And then you had that interview with Mr. Shah, who said that, no, we are right behind Nitish Kumar, and even if he gets fewer seats than us, he will be the chief minister. And that message then was repeated by every single BJP voter. They had joint rallies. They had rallies with Nitish Kumar and Prime Minister Modi. And this was hammered home. And, you know, basically just the damage control was done. And I think Chirag Paswan kind of lost out in that damage.
So, I mean, the fact that he is part of the NDA at the center tells its own story in a sense.
Right.
So, but I'm going to now move a little bit away and, you know, look at the issues in a slightly, slightly larger perspective. One thing, Sandeep, which I at least see is that Tejasvi Yadav, win or lose, more likely perhaps lose, he has emerged from his father's shadows to become a leader in his own right. He set the agenda for the election. He did not respond to whatever Prime Minister Modi was saying time and again. He stuck to his guns of 10 lakh jobs, I promise you, and on my first cabinet meeting, I'm going to do this. So to me, it seemed that the Kabristan Shamshan agenda didn't really enter the Bihar polls. And I think a lot of the credit goes to Tejasvi Yadav because he didn't just respond. So one of my takes is that he has emerged as a leader in his own right. And I think his alliance with the left parties, in a sense, has also brought him rich dividends.
Yes.
That's the other thing which I want to come to, Sandeep, is that out of the 19 seats this Communist Party of India, Marxist, Leninist, Liberation contested, they were leading in 12.
Yes.
The CPI, I think, is leading in 2 out of the 6 seats it contested, and I think the CPM in 3 out of the 4. So there are two parts of my question. How do you see Tejaswi Yadav, and how do you see the performance of the left parties? On the Tejaswi question, Nistul, I'm going to bring you in after this.
Well, Tejaswi Yadav, I certainly agree with you that he has emerged as a leader in his own right, but he's also worked hard to keep the baggage of the legacy of his father. You know, those who followed the campaigns said that, you know, how, for example, none of his other family members campaigned with him. He was the sole focus of the campaign, and he kept it, you know, for high kamai, sichai, those kind of things. And he was absolutely bang on, despite several provocations to get them drawn into issues like Article 370, terror attack, and all of that, Pakistan. None of that, he would keep saying, even that Jungle Raj comment, he was asked by the press, what do you have to say about Yuvraj of Jungle Raj? So his reply was that, well, he's the prime minister, he's a senior leader, he can say whatever he wants, but I'll stick to my agenda. So he's emerged as a leader, there's no doubt. And not too long ago, we were saying that he was not taken seriously as a leader. So that's a big shift. Coming to your question about the left, I think the left has always had good cadre, but you know that important critical factor that was required was that vote shift. You know, the RJD voters and other voters of part of the Mahagathbandhan, their votes have shifted and held very well. That's why Congress's poor performance stood out. You know, they may have got some poor seats or bad seats, but the fact that you contested on 70 seats and you're actually leading only in 20, whereas for the left, 29, I think, in all, and they're doing very well in about 20 odd seats, or at least close to 20.
Yeah. So, Nishula, my question about Tejaswi Yadav, a young man, of course, people tend to forget he was deputy chief minister with Nitish Kumar, so he has had some administrative experience. But a lot of people have just written him off, you know, especially after the BJP's fantastic performance in the Lok Sabha elections along with the JDU. So what is your sense? I mean, to me, it looks like the young man has come into his own and he's, 31 years old. So he has a long time to go in politics. And even if he doesn't win this one, he's got a future ahead.
Well, this is the last election of the Sampoorna Kranti generation, as we have also been writing in, you know, in paper. So, yes, he has a lot of time to go ahead. Also, if he loses this election, because I'm, you know, it's still going here and there. He has managed to raise the RJD to the single largest party as of this moment. That's a big achievement. And where he lacks is the transcending sort of vote. You know, the appearing as an alternative to your rival party's voter. You know, who may be looking for a change. So that he needs to work on a little bit. What happened with the crowds was in his election rally. It looks very good in terms of, you know, area domination and psyops during elections. You know, your rival gets a little agitated seeing, you know, your very well attended rallies. But in Bihar, especially among communities which have had not very pleasant experiences of RJD rule in the past, it's a bit scary, and it could have led, it may have also led to counter polarization. So he has to work on that image. You know, the way Akhilesh Yadav worked in 2012, you know, they had a similar sort of an image, the Samajwadi Party, that, you know,
But there's one difference. He never contested with the Congress at that time. He went alone.
Yes, he didn't. He went on his own, but he took 7 months. He campaigned for 7 months. I remember because I covered that campaign. He started 7 months back. He worked it. He was in touch with every ground worker, and he, you know, worked on this transcending sort of image of himself. While Tejaswi did try and put background his family baggage, if he should have done it a lot earlier and in a little more creative way. This was a bit of a quick study that he did. He could have taken a lot more lessons from what Akhilesh Yadav did in 2012, where he got more seats than his father ever got, you know, in that assembly election. He got a full majority and it was unheard of at that time. So that was the height of, you know, we were all coming out of the coalition politics era. First, we had Mayawati with a full government and then we had Akhilesh Yadav. But he worked for 7-8 months. Maybe if, you know, Tejasvi takes those lessons and moves ahead with that, because it's all about what kind of a social coalition can you weave together, you know, where your samikarans have to match with the mahal that you're trying to create. You can't create something in the air and on the ground people are just getting scared looking at the crowd. So,
right. You
know, these are some of the resonances that he needs to.
Right. So I think, as we spoke, counting is still on. The Election Commission site is ticking. Do please look at the Hindu's website and our Twitter account to follow the latest updates we are bringing you on our website. The story is still not over. It's still going on. In a sense, the night is young. But the fact is that the NDA has maintained the lead right from the morning. So please look at our website and read the Hindu in the morning for what happens. Thank you very much, Nistula and Sandeep, for joining this Facebook Live. And that's what we have. And maybe we'll be back later to bring you further updates in case there are any dramatic developments. Thank you very much both for joining.
Thank you.